For those of you who are married, why don't you share, like, before you were married or just as you got married, when you were newly married, what was some of the excitement? Like, what was some of your forethought going into that decision? Was there fear? Was there, obviously you got married, but fear, was there uncertainty? Was there excitement? Was there anticipation? Was there...
Well, he can tell you, he's right there.
Living it right in.
I got 6 months. Anyone?
Okay, well, for me, it was excitement because now I had someone to do everything with.
Uh-huh.
But there was also kind of a healthy fear because now I'm responsible for this person.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
You're not going to write those down? Fear and excitement?
No.
Oh, man.
No.
Write it down. Write that down.
Like, I don't know. Like pressure, maybe?
Okay.
So we knew what I can add.
Is that because you're planning?
Yeah. Like, it's not pressure, I guess. More like stretching.
Yeah.
Like, you're more growing as a person, like, as you're learning how to not just think about yourself, but another person to kind of similar to.
More responsibility. Okay.
Something on back there?
The fridge.
Sounds like the water faucet in that bathroom is coming.
Okay. Chris?
No, I'm not letting me sleep ever since. I
think it was more making sure she was the right person because almost third marriage.
Okay.
It was kind of scary because I didn't want to jump into something. I forgot the word for it, but
cautious?
Yeah, really cautious.
Okay.
I'm all out of room, but okay, that's good. That's really good. Awesome. Ked? Melissa?
For me, it was kind of more of watching God fulfill a promise because the unique thing about our situation, I had somebody tell me that to pray specifically for what I wanted in a spouse. And I mean, I got specific all the way down to like, God, I'm going to know this person. He's going to know like the specific song that you've given me, that you put in my heart. And, of course, like, our first date, he played the song for me, so I kind of knew.
Oh. That's neat.
That's cool.
So?
Well, I'm trying to think of something that's not there, so.
So, I was the charge forward, no caution, see what happens person.
So. Dive off the cliff and figure out how to fly.
Yep, exactly.
Please feel like this.
Hold on!
That's pretty good. Well, I was excited about, I kind of had a vision for teacher and I could see, first what I was seeing wasn't entirely accurate. It was freshly accurate, but not entirely. I was like, hey, we're going to travel and make music and all this. And then I ended up becoming a pastor. But I was definitely like let's do it. What's it going to be like? Who knows? I don't know. Figure it out.
I mean, I guess one difference, I guess, between now and then is that, like, now I've kind of learned to worry about the next step and not worry about, like, this big thing in the future, because that kind of just causes a lot of stress. But back then, I was, like, big on, oh, my gosh, how are we going to do this, trying to figure it all out. And so I guess I don't know what that is, but trying to calculate all the options and versions.
So God put the let's do it. It was
how. Oh, that's good.
It sounds about right.
Yeah.
Very cool. Okay. Well, so, okay, here, we're talking about new seasons. And so I started off the wedding ring.
I was going to ask why there's a toilet.
Yeah. I thought that was the bottom of the room.
So as I was pondering on this at like 1 a.m. this morning, I was thinking, I was like, there's really like two, we have all of us, you know, we have, well, I there's some under equal in the room, but just travel with my illustration here. Because prophetically, you're going to get married, so.
So there's, we all have these big life-changing moments, really big life-changing moments. And getting married is a huge life-changing moment. Like, you just, you don't ever come back from that. Even if you're, you know, to be divorced or whatever, like, that, it still permanently affected you for the rest of your life. Because you're either forever married or forever were married. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's just no, there's no coming back. Very life-changing moment. And going into that new season, there's all of these emotions and all of these feelings. But you know, if you're married, like, something pushed you over the cliff, right? Like, obviously something, if there was fear, something pushed you past your fear and you did it anyways. And maybe it was the excitement, or maybe it was the excited, you know, excited to be stretched, or maybe it's the, you know, like in my case, like, I don't know, stood, figured out as we go, or, you know, just the whatever, the fulfillment of a promise, like whatever it is, like something pushed us over the cliff. There's another life-changing moment that every single one of us have had in this room. And that was a life-changing moment of being potty trained. We've all been potty trained. And I'm very glad about this. And I was thinking about this morning, because I've had to, you know, work with Stella on potty training three kids. Here's the thing, guys.
I was the best one.
You were the best one.
Accurate game.
That was my list of my concerns.
Here's the thing. As I work with Stella on potty training each of these three kids, like, there was a lot of fear. And a lot of, like, anticipation and worry in their mind of going into this life-changing event. And I was just thinking about this. Like, all life-changing events, all new seasons come with a little bit of fear and a little bit of, like, you better do this. Can you imagine if, like, if we just embraced the fear and never potty trained?
You.
I mean, that would be just like, I don't even know, it's whatever. That would be weird. But I remember one of my kids, and it wasn't Clayton, but I remember one of my kids, like, sitting on the toilet for, like, a very, very long time, because they just did not, wouldn't let him get up, and they just sat there. And one of them was like, it's coming! It's coming! You know, they're like crying, you know?
It's coming!
You know, yes, it's coming. And we're all very thankful. And it's company while you're on the toilet. And not when you're off the toilet. But this was like, for all kids, right? Like, all of them, it's a life-changing moment. Like, there's responsibility involved. Like, you got to clean that up on your own. I'm not doing it for you. Like, you got to hit the toilet. No more walking around while you do your business. Like, you don't get the freestyle anymore. Like, you have to use the toilet. And we all have these new seasons in our life. And
and we have to push past the fear that comes with the new season. Does this make sense? I told you guys, like, I'm this at 1 a.m., so maybe pizza, maybe Jesus. I don't know. But I was just thinking about, like, we got... So we're going into a new season as a church. And I was talking to Stella yesterday, and she used the term. I thought it was really good. She says, you know, it's really hard not to look at this new season like a big, furry, scary monster. Mm-hmm. Of, like, this thing's going to kill us. This thing's going to eat us alive. And I think it's very same. Like, you're sitting on the toilet being politrained. Like, what's this going to be like? I don't know. I've never done this. Like, you know, there's all the safety's gone. All the comfort's gone. All the, like, I'm just sitting here or, like, getting married. Like, what's this going to look like? I had no idea. I had no idea what's this going to look like. I've never been married before. I've never done this before. Or maybe it's, I then have been married before and it failed and it didn't work. And now I'm trying again. What if this one doesn't work? Like, but something got all of us past the fear and thankfully into the new season of life. Something did that for us. Whether it's marriage or potty training, something got us past. And I think that we need to think about what gets us past the fear, what gets us past the hurdle and safely into the new season where we can actually adopt change. And I think, we'll just take some. I'll erase my artwork here. Get rid of the toilet. Whoop. I do goodness. You're an eraser. So what are some things, with somebody holler at me, what do you think gets us past the fear of a new season?
We'll just have to do it.
I think the hope that's going to be better on inside, but
it's true.
Uh-huh. Oh, for me, every time is... Thought you wrote it down. Sorry.
The hope that it's going to be better on the inside. Okay. Better than like what we're doing now.
Okay.
So?
The word from the Lord, basically the confirmation that this is the right direction.
Anybody else?
Faith?
I think if you're talking in the context of marriage, then it would be love, because you really love that person.
Okay, Melissa, Uthin, you want to throw into the pot? Okay, I think it's pretty good. I'm going to add one. You got a clear picture of the future. I'm going to complete my sentence. Future. Okay. I think these are all good. I think we need a little bit of mixture of all of this. Like, I like to just do it. I think that's definitely like the camp that I often find myself sitting in, just personality wise. And just do it and we'll figure it out later. But I think like having that mixed with you, like getting it like a clear word from God. Because sometimes we can step out in the flesh, right? And then we find ourselves in, you know, but then we find ourselves kind of in Saul's camp, right? Where it's like going forth to the battle without a word from God. That's danger and that won't work. But I think I like the hope that it will be better is great. I mean, it's kind of still negative. But hey, you know what? If we don't have a hope that it's going to be better, then what are we doing, you know? So faith, love,
I love this. I can't remember who said love, but
Clayton.
Was that you, Chris?
Clayton.
It's like, I like that. Just I think that anytime I move forth without love, I feel like that we're not fully moving forward with the heart of God, especially in the context of what we're doing in church. So anyways, I think what I want to share with us is this, like each one of these things have the future in mind. So just do it. Obviously, know what you're doing. Hope that he'll be better. Like you've obviously got a picture of what better looks like. A word from God. Again, you got a picture of faith.
Faith.
I think in faith, you know, there is a mental
tangible well, substance picture. Of things unseen.
Yes. So you don't see it, but there is some substance there that you're hanging on to. Love. We've got a picture of people. Click picture to future. So
I think all of this has to do with being able to see ourselves. If you guys remember, and Chris, Melissa, Clayton, you weren't here, but I think Darcy and Kay were, Stella definitely was, when we went through the training with Satsi Demirkova, she talks about like painting a clear picture of your future. If you're going, you got to get yourself out of your comfort zone. Out of order into order. So out of order basically means that we're doing something outside of what is normal for us. When we first started doing the Win Your Week, Take Back Your Week, Win Your Week, what's it called?
Win the Week.
Do you guys remember that? Like how many guys are still doing that? Are you still doing the Win the Week?
Was that for
Week? That's the calendar thing.
Yes.
So like that was like so far outside of my comfort zone because I have a very like just do it, just fly by the seat of your pants, figure it out, you know, as you go, kind of a person. And so like actually thinking about my week and planning it out, I was like, I feel so constrained. Now I got to do this, you know. What I realized is after I did it for a while is like I'm actually liberating myself. You know, it's like I was my own worst enemy. You know, I want to be free. Then I was like,
but you're not.
But I'm not because everything now is in everything gets done only when I think about it. So, but it was like out of my comfort zone. So I had to throw myself. I actually had to talk to myself when I was like, I am a very organized purpose. I am a very, actually, I still have my alarm on my phone. Like I am courageous and I am, you know, I'm like organized and I'm, you know, influential, you know, little words that I said to myself to kind of help me get into this idea of like, you know, I'm intentional, I'm purposeful, I have order in my life. I think that if we're going to throw ourselves, if we're going to be good at and going into three services, if we're going to lean into this without freaking out, if we're going to lean into this without without losing our mind in the midst of it, I think that what we need to do, each one of us, is we need to really sit down and draw out a picture of what this is going to look like for you, personal, in your area, in the area that you lead. Let me put some kind of thought into this. Like when I've said this a lot to myself. If I can accomplish the vision that God's put on my life, then I have not fully realized the vision that God has put on my life. You know, this vision of Win a City, you know, it's gonna outlive us. It's gonna outlive Kay. It's going to outlive Darcy. It's going to outlive Stella. And it's going to outlive all of us, right? Because it's a big vision, okay? But that's the vision of the whole church. And you need to hang on to that. And all that stuff that we work on, like, you know, always hang on to that. But I'm going to guess that you have a mental picture of your department.
I'm going to guess that, like, if you lay in bed at night and you're thinking about kids ministry, or you're thinking about youth ministry or young adults or whatever, there's like a mental picture that comes to your mind. And I want you to think about what that mental picture is. And if you don't have a mental picture, then you should get one. Like, you should be passionate enough about your ministry that you actually think about it in a vivid dream sort of a way. For example, when I was a youth pastor, well, I'll just do this. When I was a planting the house church, I'll talk about this. When I was planting the house church, we had a picture of, like, I have like a mental picture of what it was going to look like. And I wanted to be young. I wanted to feel young. I wanted it to be big. So I thought of, like, in my mind, I was thinking of like a warehouse, gym, like whatever. We were mobile. We knew we were going to be mobile. And so I can tell you what I was not thinking of. I was not thinking of a community center. And the reason that was on my mind is because I had a friend who was doing it in a community center. And I went there and I thought, man, this just feels so dead and ugly. And then we ended up at the community center. This is like, God has a very ironic sense of humor. Literally, the very one that I didn't want to be in. But it was going to be loud. I wanted it was very, like, modern, rocky worship was, like, kind of what was in my head. Groups all around the city. Lots of salvations. Where's some other things? So where are some other words that were kind of like coming to our mind at the time? It's been many years ago. Intense preaching.
Well, you kept saying we're the janitors of this community.
Janitors of our city.
All right, that was some language that I picked up from being janitor, but I just thought about, like, we're going to go into our city and we're going to do what nobody else wants to do. That was kind of like, what nobody else wants to do, like, we're going to do it. We're going to get down, we're going to meet and whatever people don't like, yep. Everybody else wants to pastor like a big influential church. I was like, we're not going to worry about being big and influential. We're going to just go into the city and do whatever needs to happen. Okay. So it's some language that started coming out. And then as we started to move along, we started being able to put like more skin and bones around it. And we started thinking about, okay, like we want the lobby to be exciting. We want music in the lobby. We want food in the lobby. We want coffee in the lobby. We want people hanging out in the lobby. And we could pull some stuff that we do here at LFC. We could talk about, like, begins in the parking lot, right? So we got people outside in the parking lot. Like, we're creating energy before they even get into the building, and more modern colors. We want the service to start, like, right off, like, boom, right from the get-go. People are dancing, they're shouting, they're singing. We want relationships happening. As soon as somebody gets saved, they get partnered with the Purple Book person, like instant built-in discipleship, you know, all of this stuff. Okay, like we could go, we're thinking about this. And I want you to think about, like, what's happening currently at LFC. Like, all of this stuff is happening. And it's happening because there's a picture in the mind of the person who's leading it. And what's happening is I've got a picture. I could go through all of your departments and tell you like what I see in your department, right? Because I eat, drink, breathe, sleep, wake up. Like, this church is inside of me. But I'm not running your department. And I'm not pastoring your department. You're pastoring your department. And so I want each of you to think and draw out and like literally make a Word document with everything about your department. You know, I think it was Rick Warren, who for years at his church, they had like this little cardboard statue guy, and they called him Mr. Saddleback. And it was literally, they called him Mr. Saddleback. And it was like, you know, like those movie posters, you know, like back when we had a movie store. And then it had the little guy, and it was like a character from the movie, and you'd walk in and they'd be there, you know. And they still have it down.
It's like Indiana Jones with the lasso.
They still had it down for movie theater. Well, they had one of those made up, and it was Mr. Saddleback. And he had down exactly like, you know, and they would say like, you know, 40 years old. This would totally not fly at bay because everybody would think he's a, like, what do they call that? Where they're like favoring one particular person. Anyways.
Discrimination?
Yeah, it's like, it was a white guy. you know, he had on like blue jeans.
So if he's black, are you not discriminating against, you know, white people?
40,000 year. Like, you know, nice.
So ugly.
I'm adding some of my own stuff into this, you know.
I don't know.
But like, they, you know, and this was like Mr. Saddleback, right? Mr. Saddleback. And it was out there. And they told their launch team, this is who we're going for. And this is what Saddleback Church looks like. And he had a belief. He's like, if we can reach these people, we'll reach everybody else.
What's the shock?
Because he knew his community, right? It's in California, like Saddleback area. He's like, if we reach this, the rest of the community will come. Because he knew in his community that most people, like, this is what they wanted to be. Right? And so they had done all kinds of like demographic surveys. So they went, they put this other guy up in their lobby and they said, this is Mitch Saddleback. This is who we're trying to reach. They went on and they did it. And here they are, 4,000 people later. Okay. Now I'm not saying you need to do this, but what I am saying is you should know what you're building so much that you could do that. Right? So if it's youth students, like, okay, like what schools do I want to reach? Like, you know, Robert Gatto always talks about, like, get the chocks, get the whole school, you know, whatever. I don't know if that's true. I definitely was not going to reach the jocks because I know nothing about that. But know your target, know your area. What does it look like? Who do you want to reach? What do you want to do with them? This is what I know. We're primarily, our church, primarily right now, is reaching like 35 to 40s. Okay, we have a lot of young people that come. The reason is because you're going to reach 10 years above. Well, let's just do this. 25, 50. Okay, you're going to reach 10 above and 10 under, like the age that where you're at. Okay, so that's, you know, I'm 45, so we're reaching kind of in this area here. Okay, so. You're going to reach 10 years on the other side of know your target. And then number two, what do we want to do? I know I want to get people saved. I want to get people discipled. So that means Purple Book for us right now. That's currently what we're doing. I want to get pupils leading. I mean, just we've been talking about this. So I'm just rehashing stuff that we're talking about. I want to get people grouped together. Okay. And I want the whole community. I've been thinking personally inside my head, like, okay, like me personally, I've been thinking, like, what does it mean? The gospel in every home. I've been using this language in my own head. Every home, a church home. What I mean by that is I want every single home, every night, where people are reading the word of God, or every morning or every afternoon, reading the word of God, worshiping together, praying together, just living like church inside their homes. What I want to see. And guess what? If this is what I want to see, three services is a must and more. I know that if we're going to do this, guess what? We got to build land. We got to go get land.
We gotta go build a bigger village. We gotta go do something. Like, maybe the Eotech. But that's the one thing to sell that to us. Let's just do that. Like, I'm just being silly. But,
no.
Let's do it. This is what I know. If we're gonna do this, a vision will push you outside of your comfort zone. But it has to be clear. It has to be clear. And this is also what I know. You're departing. You're not enough. You're departing. You're just the beginning. You're literally the seed of that department, which means there's a whole flower. There's a whole, like, pick whatever fruit you want. I don't care. There's a whole, like, crop that's, like, undeveloped. Let's think about the gospel in Ariel. Let's think about the whole community. How many kids go to Hermiston High? 2,000 students, 1,500, something like that, students?
It's almost 1,000.
Let's think about 1,500 students at LFC. Like, what's KK going to do? Well, if you got 1,500 students, you're going to have my job. So there you go. That's think about what I'm doing, and that's what you'll be doing, okay? Let's think about, you know, a building twice the size, okay? Let's just, you know, I was going to say gray hair, but...
No hair.
Yeah. It'll grow back. Hair,
yes.
You won't have time to keep it trim. It'll all grow back. what do we need? Well, definitely teams, a custodial team, not just one. Let's think about young adults. How many young adults are in the city, or the greater city of Hermiston? Like,
well, there's 300 in our database,
so several thousand. Okay, what are you gonna do with several thousand in your young adults department, or the guys? Like, there's 22,000 people.
That's wildly
13,000 including our surrounding community. So what is that, 15,000-20,000 guys? Like, you know, like, what does that look like? It looks like you're the primary visionary leader, and you got a whole lot of people under you who are doing the work of ministry. You guys see what I'm doing? Like, if you get a picture of way beyond you, like, you got to throw yourself out of your comfort zone. Your comfort zone is what you're doing right now, right? Like, your comfort zone is, okay, I can show up and, you know, set some things out, you know, and get some people in there. And I've got, you know, one or two people who, you know, carry some load. I'm telling you, and I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm just saying, getting started yet. Like, you're just barely getting your feet wet. Because we're talking about reaching an entire community. Like, what you're doing is barely scratching the surface. And I don't mean that in a mean way. I don't mean that in a critical way. All I'm saying is, go dream bigger. Go make some mistakes. Go get risky. Go draw it out. Get some language. Turn it into a Word document. Get it vivid. And then go try. And I just so appreciated the other day, and I told Stella and Clayton this, you know, they did this thing at our team meeting, and, like, didn't quite work, you know, and some people were kind of like, you know, irritated about it, you know, and, you know, we got on the phone with them, and they, like, cleared it up, you know, like, whatever. And it actually turned out so good. Can I tell the story? Is that okay? Or it's, no? Okay. Well, anyways, so... So, and it didn't work out, you know, and so people were upset, we got it all figured out. But I was so appreciated just the courage.
You could tell the end part.
The willingness to go make a mistake. Like, I'll tell you, I would rather you go make a mistake than not try. Because I can tell you how Stella and I got to do what we're doing. Literally one mistake at a time. Like, lots of mistakes. Like lots and lots of mistakes. If I count the amount of mistakes I made at the house church, like, I wouldn't have enough room on my computer to store that much information, you know? Like, which is the same thing with back in the day with Fusion or the youth group that we had, you know, before here and the church that we had in Idaho. Oh my gosh. Like, we had not a clue as to what we were doing at all. Totally clueless. And I don't know why the denomination let us do that. I'm not sure it was in their best interest, but but here we are. And it's the only way you learn. Stella and I can't lead for you. Like, we can't lead your department. Only you can lead your department. Which means you got to get out there and make some mistakes, but make visionary mistakes. There are stupid mistakes. There are stupid, you know, the teacher, I heard teachers say that there's no dumb questions. That's just stupid because there are dumb questions. Dumb questions are questions that you ask when they just gave you the answer and you didn't pay enough attention. And so then you ask it again. They say 2 + 2 = 4. Hey, what's 2 + 2? That's a dumb question. You should have just listened and wrote it down. There are also dumb mistakes. Dumb mistakes are mistakes that you make when you ain't got no vision and you're just trying to throw that thing on the wall, throw that spaghetti noodle on the wall and see if it sticks. It's done yet? Okay, you can eat it, you know? Like, have a plan, have a vision, have a strategy. Go work, like, you know what, y'all, what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be mean. Am I being mean? I'm not trying to be mean. So, all I'm saying is this. Three services looks big. Looks like a big, scary monster. But you've already been in front of big, scary monsters before. Even potty trained. That was a big, scary monster. And for those of you that have been married or are in the process of getting married, you're there. And you've been on the other side. And you know what it likes to go do something. You know what it's like to go do something when you can't see the other side. And you succeeded. And you're going to succeed again. In 7 weeks, you're going to succeed again. And how did you get there? By making the vision clear. By making it clear. So, for some of you guys, we've got a few minutes left.
I have a lot of minutes left.
Huh?
You have a lot of minutes left.
Okay, I'll start. We'll get our early sick. So, why don't you guys shoot at me some thoughts?
What does it look like?
When you think about your area, when you think about your department, what do you see?
Investing into new people, like training them, like putting more time into building people rather than just doing the work yourself.
Okay. What does that look like?
Like, for example, like I keep hearing about this kid, Xander, like just digging him and like just training him how to do sound and stuff like that. So constantly building people to learn how to do the work.
Are you asking like end result or are you asking how to get their result?
I'm asking more of like, okay, I'll just pick on this one here. Like you say, I want to invest into people. I want to invest into young people, teach them how to do it. Does that look like having a group of 15 or 20 young kids who are like learning how to do audio, video, and lighting, running those departments on Sunday, maybe 10, 15, 20 years down the road, they're doing it as a career, or like, you know what I'm saying? Like, or like in a classroom style, does it look like classroom style? Does it look like on the job training? Does it look like coming in during the week and playing around with it, recording music, playing it back, like get really vivid with it. Get it, bring the vision of your area all the way down to the point to where like, I can do this one thing
this week. Does that make sense? For example, like if Clayton were to say, I've got a vision of seeing, like, of raising up, you know, in the time that I'm here, I want to raise up 15, like, younger kids who can fully operate the entire department. Audio, video, lighting, camera, broadcast, they can do it. And so I'm going to find 30 in hopes that I can keep 15, find 30 kids. I'm going to bring them into a classroom every single week. I'm going to start a program where every single week I'm getting them in there. They're touching the board. They're touching the cameras. They're learning how to program stuff. They're learning how to patch. They're learning how to capture shots. I'm doing that every week. And I've got a training book that I take them through. Okay, now what Clayton can do is he can actually start this week. He can say, I'm going to start making a table of contents of all the different topics that I need to start. And then, you know, here in next month, I'm going to start populating that handbook with all of the training materials. And in 6 months, I'm going to start putting kids. They're going to actually have a day of the week where we bring them in and we start training them, because this is the vision. This is what I want to do. Does that make sense? Like, if you boil it all the way down to like 1, 2, and 3, then you can do it. The problem, and I'm not picking on you, you can get mad at Billy if you want to, but the thing is that this, how he said that is too often how we think of vision. It's, I want to invest in the kids. We all want to invest in the kids. And I'm not being mean, but it's just the truth. We all do. So what does it look like? What are you going to do about it? If your vision does not cause you to wake up in the morning and go do something, your vision isn't clear. Mm-hmm. The reason I do this every single Tuesday is because you guys literally are the passion of my heart. My passion is to invest into you. My hope is that in the next 10 to 15 years, we're still doing this together. And hopefully one of you guys will take my job. And that's why I do this. It's not because I like talking. Matter of fact, my voice gets tired by the end of the week, right? Like, this is like Sunday afternoon, Stella's like, talk to me. I'm like, I don't want to talk to anybody. But this, like, this is my passion. To be honest with you, I'm probably more passionate about building each one of you guys up to do what you're doing with excellence way more than I am getting the church to 1,000 people. Like, that actually just thanks me. I'm like, that's a lot of work, you know? But this, right? So when I wake up, and Stella could test this, like, I think about this meeting all week long. And I'm writing down stuff. I'm studying stuff. I've been studying Crossing the Jordan. I've been studying, you know, Ribbon Gap, Half Tribe Acid Estate on the, you know, Transjordan. I've been like all that kind of stuff. I've been geeking that out because that's like where we're at. And I want to teach and I want to pour this into you guys. But my vision for this team is so clear that every day of the week, I've got something that I can do for this. And so we say, like, you know, I want to reach the generations, or I want to equip the generations, or I want to do this. Like, I'm saying, think deeper, get it more vivid, get it more clear, get it so crystal clear that when you wake up tomorrow, you're like, I got to go do this. And this one thing, I got to write this Word document. I got to go write that training document. I got to go get out an Excel sheet. I got to open up a open up a flow chart. You know, I got to start populating names and peoples and positions, or I got to, whatever it is, I got to go find that discipleship tool. I got to go do this, because if I do this, it'll get there. Does that make sense? Am I getting, are you guys seeing this? Okay, so talk some more. Bless you.
I will say something, but correct me if I'm not on the right track.
Okay.
So Clayton said, like, I want to build theaters.
Mm-hmm.
What you're looking for us to respond like is like a how.
just like a vision of what, like, what do you want to do?
What are you doing every day?
Well, I want to start asking kids that I see, like, are really passionate to come help me set up on Tuesday night.
Awesome. That's great. Why?
Because it'll teach them, first off, serving. Mm-hmm. And then also because it'll allow me to minister to them in that space. Mm-hmm. And then they get excited about just youth next day.
That's awesome. Then their friends get excited.
And their friends do so.
Yep. And then pretty soon those five people are each leading a team of 5 or 10 people who are setting up. And you're pastoring the five. You're leading the five. It trickles down.
I love. Okay. So let's start there.
So leading a team
of five to set up. I like it. It's a good. It's a good place to start.
I mean, that works for just about every department.
Okay.
This is good. This is good. Clay, do you want to work on yours a little bit? I didn't mean to totally shoot you down.
Deem myself. I want to take like a student or just another person like to Thursday night practices and kind of probably just one person at a time work with them through whatever their skill is that they want to start off, like projection, lighting, or sound, and just start kind of just throw them there and kind of walk them through like how to do everything and kind of have more one-on-one, more relationship building experience along with training them how to like to do the different things that we do.
And what's your like, what's that gonna do? What's that gonna spin off into?
Well, I hope that he or her feels like after a certain amount of time, the responsibility to lead in a higher capacity.
Mm-hmm. You're the same with someone else?
Yeah.
So you're equipping people. Yeah. You're going to raise up a leader.
Yeah. I hope to see like at first, many of those people that are trained and know what to do and then be able to find individuals within that group of people who are capable of leading the team, like people like Mike,
mm-hmm.
that are able of like sitting down and they know exactly what to do all the time.
Yeah,
and help take care of your team. So
good. Darcy, what do you think?
I'm not necessarily thinking of leaders right now, thinking of the kids. I want them to be able to pray. Mm-hmm. Pray and worship. I know that's simplistic, but for 2 and 3 year olds and 4 and 5 year olds, just teaching them that they can, that their words matter too, that God mm-hmm. uses them. And I want them to know that.
Mm-hmm. But how do they learn to pray?
By being the example and showing them to pray, which we've started.
So that's still about leaders.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, tell the story. I think that's so cool. From last week.
From last week?
Like Pauline.
Oh, Pauline. Oh, my gosh. I'm trying to get her to be honest on a more regular basis. But she's defying me at this moment. But anyway, Pauline comes in and helps periodically. Helps when I don't have enough people. Mm-hmm. I love it when she comes in because the way she interacts with the children, and I've kind of taken some of her ideas. But she doesn't necessarily show the video, but she speaks to them. Mm-hmm. And watching how she interacts with the children, they are so engaged with her. I mean, obviously, yes, little kids don't sit well for long, but she just, the way she was talking about the story and the way she had her little illustrations with the heart, because we have little hearts. I had that little heart. I'm like, mm-hmm. you know, this is our heart that God uses and he makes it clean and we don't have a black spot anymore. And they just loved it. They just like sat there just so engaged. Like, man, please come to But it was just amazing to see the kids really understand because she would also ask them questions. That's so good. So
here's what I would say. The average pastor, and I know that we got 3 of you in the room who are pastors, but you can apply this to yourself as well. I'll both safety to left. Because we're not going to provide a certificate. So the average leader had, well, to put it that way, make it equal all across the room. So the average leader can lead 50 people. That's your capacity. That's your capacity. Maybe a little less because it gets a little hard to handle sometimes. Less self-sufficient. But the average person can lead 50 people. And that's 50 people well. That's like, you know, if they have a medical emergency, you can go see them in the hospital. That's, you know, praying, handling their prayer requests and, you know, reaching out to them, you know, on a regular basis. You can lead 50 people. So, you know, like men's ministry is almost there, but you're raising up leaders. You've got table leaders and you've got Pastor Reagan and you've got, you know, people around you. So you can probably grow that to, you know, maybe even a couple hundred. LFY, you know, you're just about at that capacity. You're right at that capacity. But you're also, you're getting there. You're raising up leaders. And if you keep raising up leaders, you'll be able to expand that. But the average person can raise up 50 leaders. So I'm talking on Darcy's illustration for just a second. Like her passion, her vision is to raise up all of these young kids that come through LFC, the 2s and 3-year-olds, to know that they can pray, that they can talk to God, and that they can actually have a relationship with Jesus. So what I'm saying to you is that if you do that with 50 kids, if we're talking about the gospel in every home, I hope there's more than 50 kids. So think long term. Think a year, 2 year, 5 year, 10 years down the road. If you're really, it would be said, lead with love. If you're really going to lead with love, then you have to build up a team of people who have the same heart to see those kids talk to God and have a relationship with God the way that you do. Because otherwise, and we've all seen this, you know, Grandma Sally, who just really loves those kids. There was one day back in 1945 where she had a classroom full of 100 kids and now she's got 5. And still her doing it. And God bless her, she's been doing it for 50 years. You know what I'm saying? Because she didn't raise up a team. How many of y'all have ever seen that story before? Like I had that story growing up in church. They'd all talk about, you know, like, Sister so-and-so, and back in the day, she had a huge kids ministry. Like, it was huge. And we're all sitting there like, there's only 5 of us, you know? And only 5 of us left because she got old and tired. And she don't want to have 100 kids anymore. Okay. All right. Okay.
See.
Some other ideas? Some other thoughts? This is good.
Drex, do we give a staff? What do you see? No, I mean, it all kind of goes right back to training up leaders, but like for young adults ministry, like I'd love to see, you know, we'd have like groups of young adults being able to go to like different leaders within that ministry, like when they're going through different life experiences, you know, being able to minister to those different life experiences, but you need to have leaders in place in order to see that fulfilled. But it's just all coming right back to what we've been talking about, training up leaders in order to take on the capacity of the
video. Yeah. I think like what you're saying, but it comes back to the answer is always training up leaders. But we do it because of the vision. Mm-hmm. Like Stella said yesterday. Like we don't build teams because we need teams, we build teams because we have a vision. And the vision can't be realized without it. So what you're talking about is a community
of young people and men, I'm assuming, who care for each other and are there to be in battle with each other and are pastoring each other. Is that kind of what you're saying?
But then you got to have those people in place.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to go big shebango, like 10 years on you.
Go on, T-Y-A. Kiss.
Shebango.
Shebango. I say
trademark. It's a new word, grammar. Trademark that.
Shebango. What was that other word we would say? Emily?
Kumquat.
Oh, God.
Kumquat!
Please remember that it's what I want. Yeah. This is kumquat.
Hey, wait. I'm
having college.
Call it. Now you're college talking. That's what I'm talking about.
Boom!
10 booms.
20 booms.
I want, Jerks is thinking in my vein, but I want to revolutionize the culture of music in Hermiston because there isn't one.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So I want, LFC to be, the center of spitting out musicians like popcorn out of a popcorn machine.
But we can't spit all of them out. We're nice to keep some of them.
Spit them all out. I want people to find a school of arts where we're not just teaching music, but we're teaching worship leading, we're teaching how to be a part of a recording, how to become a person of influence in the music industry, and put out curriculum and coaching for worship leaders and musicians. I've been thinking about this a lot, so I have a lot, but anyway, I'll stop.
It's so good. I mean, this is, you guys are really you're getting at. Listeners, Karam put mine down. Here's one thing, and I said this.
You played that really well.
You know those games?
I know. I was like, that was really good, actually.
I hooked on that one. Even before Stella and I moved here, we knew we were going to move here, but we hadn't moved here yet. This is the language that I use. It's probably not the best language. I think it sounds a little bit.
He wrote you, but I'm a little shocked. Good.
But I haven't figured out how to reword it yet. But I just said, I want to build a leadership factory.
Okay, that's better than popcorn.
If we can build leaders, then what we're doing is we're built leaders lead. Leaders, so
I know it's getting.
Leaders know how to handle confrontation. Leaders know how to build followers. So if we can raise up leaders, we'll have better homes. And a community is made of homes. So goes the home, so goes the whole community. So, one of the things that I see is, and I'm not trying to say this in a mean way, but it is, I think it's a cultural thing inside of Hermiston where a lot of men are very passive. A lot of men are letting their wives make all the decisions. And, and I think a lot of it may have come from the old farming days where the wife pretty much had to stay home and take care of the home. And the guy worked 16 hours. He came home, ate his meal, and went to bed. Maybe that's where it all came from. I don't know. But I know one of the passions that I have for this city is to change the culture, the leadership culture, where not just men, but if we can get the men, we'll get the rest. But where we train up people how to lead. And you can see that how I lead is most of what I talk about is leadership. This is because it's what I'm passionate about. I think if we can do this, I think that we can literally change the landscape of Hermiston. I think if we can do this, we could put people from LSC. They can be our mayors. They can be our city managers. Mm-hmm. Our Living Faith Church can raise up the next, you know, batch of city councilors. We can put our school superintendent can be a spirit-filled believer. Like, we can put people, the school board can be packed out with the, you know, the all of this. Like, if we will raise up leaders, you know, our chief of police can be a born-again Christian from LFC. What happens is we get spirit-filled people in government, the entire city changes. And then we're not sitting down here trying to, like, figure out from the bottom. Let's just go straight to the top. Let's cut the head off the snake.
Yeah.
Yes.
Resistance is futile.
Yes.
So they can't resist what we're going to do, and we're going to get
exactly. Bigger.
I think she needs to have a conquering mindset.
Absolutely. So what we're doing here today, this kind of like a little wonder thing, right? And you guys know I'm a wonder, so I do this. And maybe you're not a wonder. And so maybe that makes this part a little bit of a challenge for you. But I want you to lean in. If this is your frustration, I'm working genius, I want you to lean into your frustration. If this is your competency, like, leverage it. If this is your genius, go have fun with it. Like, go ahead and hate it. But I really think that we need, your department needs you to be a visionary. Your department needs you to go dream. Your department needs you to, you know, like, if I were to do this again, I could do it like I do, but, like, you know, like, go to your bedroom, turn off the lights, and turn on some worship music and a candle, and, like, start praying in tongues and just say, Lord, give me a vision that's so big that it actually frustrates me a little bit. Give me a vision that's so big that I'm like, oh my word, I don't have enough people to do my vision. What I don't want is I don't want you to not have enough people to survive. I don't want to hear about how I don't have enough people and I got too many kids, or I don't have enough people and I got too many this, or I don't have enough people and I had to go do all this work. Like, be honest with you, like, my response to that is go build a team. There's 500 people in church. Go find some and go do it. You know, like, that's not what I want to hear is, Aaron, like, I am so excited about, like, we had 30 kids and I can't wait to see them all praying. But if I'm going to see those 30 kids pray, like, I got to grow this team. Like, what do I need to do? That I'm excited about. That lights my fire. Right. Yeah, the conversation of, like, oh, there's so many people, I don't have enough. You know, that's just like, listen, y'all got a problem because I'm praying for more. Right? Like, I'm going to, like, your pastor is going to pray you into frustration. So, like, let's go get a vision. Let's go say, oh my gosh, like, no, like, literally, I need more people to fulfill the vision. I need more people to get this done. We had 50. Oh my gosh, we had 50. That's 10 more than we had last week. We're getting closer to seeing the vision realized. So I gotta go get another 5 leaders, you know? Like, do y'all see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. When we lead with vision, it actually gets us a little bit excited. But what gets really frustrating is when we're sitting on the toilet, wishing we still had our diaper on. Then we're screaming, right? We're like, it's coming! No, like, guys, listen, it's supposed to come. Like, it's supposed to come. We're like, 3 services, we're like, it's coming! And God's sitting up there like, dude, poop already. Like, it's supposed to come. It's supposed to happen. Like, this is what I made you for. It's time to take off the diaper and go reach the city for Jesus, right?
Can you use a different illustration?
Release the beast.
Is this? Why? Release the beast. Does this give any? Did I say anything today?
No.
No.
This is an illustration of the poop.
We need to refer to Chris Pratt how to do that properly.
Yeah, no,
absolute blah.
I hope that this was a little bit helpful, maybe a little bit. wasn't really intending to give you like 1, 2, 3, go do this as much as I am. Just like, just go home and dream a little bit. Like I was still in Chris the other day. We were talking about building a team for custodial. And I was like, you know, it's kind of like sitting on the chairs, just dreaming a little bit, you know. And Chris, are you okay if I dream? So that's just telling us. Yeah, what can it be like, you know? We had like, you know, a few people coming in throughout the week, just, you know, doing some vacuuming or cleaning restrooms or, you know, and I was telling them, like, maybe it would be great to, like, build, like, a Saturday team so you don't have to come in on Saturdays, you know. But we were just talking about, like, what that could look like. And I was like, what if, like, there were a few people that came in throughout the week and you know, they did some stuff. And then it's like, okay, guys, let's sit down. Let's go through the purple book together. Or let's you know, we're, you're like, it's not just I need help cleaning the building, but it's like, I want to invest into you, and cleaning the building is, you know, a tool that we use to get there, but I'm pouring into your life, you know. And he was telling me about how, like, that's what Jim Gordon Air did for him when he was at the school. You know, they worked together, but they also discipled together. And so, like, that to me, as he was telling me that story about, like, what he and Jim did, it just kind of, like, lit my fire a little bit. I've, like, started seeing, like, man, that could be, like, so cool. Like, having people who, you know, clean together, but then grow in God together. Like, oh my gosh. Like, that's just like, wow. That's just, like, so exciting to me, you know? So, anyways, my hope was just to inspire you guys a little bit today, and hopefully I did that. And